Welcome to PhD Careers in Life Sciences podcast, brought to you by the Office of Postdoctoral Affairs at NUS Medicine. This podcast is sponsored by GeneWiz from Azenta Life Sciences, the global leader in genomics world, empowering your research by providing high-quality, precision-based solutions. Today's guest is a PhD graduate who went straight to work in the industry and has worked with various companies from multinational corporation or MNC to startup and then back to MNC again. It will be very interesting to hear her story. Dr. Kamalawan Chom Chawbun, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Hatayti, for the introduction. Firstly, before we start, let me get a few things out first. So I would like to thank people who have supported me along the way. Okay, so I know it sounds weird to be the first thing that I say in this podcast. Yeah, but I think, you know, where I am where I am today because I have these people who have kindly supported me and taught me various things along the way. Secondly, to the audience, okay, please do not blame me for any data inaccuracy. Okay, to be honest, I'm already showing signs of aging. You know, the PhD you always joke as permanent damage, right? So I already have some sign of aging. So maybe some data information may not be 100% accurate, but I will try my best to, you know, recount those details. Okay, Hatayti, please don't ask too difficult question. If not, I will get wrong data. And of course, thank you, the NUS team for inviting me to this podcast as well.
It's a pleasure to have you here. We can start with your PhD. You are actually NUS alumnus. Your bachelor and your PhD were done at NUS. So maybe tell us about your PhD, what it is about.
Yes, okay, so I spent 8 years of my youth, my youthful years in NUS. Okay, so my PhD was actually with the Department of Pharmacy in US. Okay, and the theme, general theme was drug discoveries based on natural products. Okay, so your plants, things like that. Okay, for treatment of cardiovascular diseases and infectious disease. Yeah, so that's what I spent my 4 years doing in PhD.
I see. And before we talk about the job, I also saw from your profiles that during your study, you were very active outside the lab. You did a lot of volunteering activities, a lot of activities that is not like typical science activities. I think maybe you can, how about you highlighting one or two impactful activities that you have done when you were a student?
Okay, so of course, I spend most of my time in the day in the lab and doing lab work already because I also want some variation in my life. So I did some activities with the departments, NUS itself, as well as take up some, of course, extra responsibility in the lab, like safety, being the person in charge of safety, you know, and all those. But I would say the highlight was actually I was working or volunteering in the NUS high boarding schools just across Utown. Okay, so what I do in the school is that I stay in with the students here. So I take care of the local student and international students who may be studying NUS high or maybe studying in other secondary schools in Singapore, but they stay here away from their home. Okay, so what I do is actually I come up with programs for them. Of course, there are also things like disciplinary action, you know, if they don't come back to the hostel at night, what do I do? Yeah. And also, of course, emotional support, because, you know, we all went through teenagers years together. And there are things that like, you know, oh, why is this friend not talking to me? Or like, why study so hard? I'm so stressed about A-level, O-level. So things like that are things that I can support them with. Okay, so of course, I wouldn't say, you know, it's me giving to them only. It's actually they are also giving a lot to me. Okay, it actually give me keep me young and updated so that, you know, when people speak to me in Gen Z language, I still can understand and, you know, get along the conversation with them.
That's what I'm struggling at most of the times in the lab now. So you were doing that during your study, your PhD.
Correct. So actually, I started in my year four of undergrads. Then after that, I continued throughout my study. And actually, now I'm still here doing the same thing I have been doing since then.
Okay. I see. But that definitely sounds very meaningful and fulfilling because you share the journey with the youth and they are growing, in a way, growing up. But that also sounds like a lot of responsibilities and also psychological responsibility. At least that's how I feel, right? So,
Yeah. To be honest, I would say that there are days that, you are so tired with work, you are so tired with your daily life already, and you just want to come home and just crash and not talk to anyone. There are days like that as well, but you still have to carry out certain responsibility that you have. But of course, those are the minorities. When I do see them coming back to school after they have graduated and say, "Hey, Miss, come on, oh wait, I'm now at NUS as well," or like, "Oh, now I'm studying somewhere else." And then what you shared with me was very helpful to me last time. Then those are the times where I feel like, okay, I'm in the right place.
Okay, I can totally imagine. So it's also about your passion together with what you feel that you can do well, or the connections that you build with the people that
Yeah, correct.
you
And also,
help, right, or support.
And also being with people from different cultures and seeing people thinking differently, looking at things from different perspective, I think those are very interesting.
Thank you for sharing that. Let's talk about your job. So after you graduated, once you got your PhD, you went straight to the industry. You became a pharmacovigilance at sorry, I think it's not. So you became a pharmacovigilance specialist at IQVIA, and you did not do a postdoc. You have never been a postdoc. Why not?
Okay, why should I? Okay, so that sounds a little bit hostile, but no. Okay, of course there are a lot of good postdoc opportunities out there. And I do think, a lot of PhD students who were my peers as well as my senior or my junior went through that route, and they are also very successful in their own ways. Okay, but to be very honest, I can share that during the time when I was doing PhD, what comes after is a question that I always dread when I talk to people. When they ask me, like, "Oh, when are you going to graduate?" or "Oh, when are you going? What are you going to do after you finish PhD?" Things like that are things that I really sometimes don't want to answer or don't know how to answer. And I was not very sure of the path that I wanted to take until almost the end of my PhD days. Okay, so to those PhDs audience who might be listening and you are stressing about things, don't worry. Okay, you are not alone. There are many other people out there. I'm sure I'm not the only one. That also has that doubt and questions about myself as well. But of course, during the PhD, I discovered a few things about myself. Aside from having fun in the lab, having fun learning about my PhD topic, I also realized that beyond those, I have passion in human interactions. I love working with people from different backgrounds. Okay, as I think we already talked about, my experience in hostel, right? I love that. I love interacting with people who come from different backgrounds, having different opinions about things. Okay, and of course, I didn't have a chance before PhD to go into the workforce, so I graduated from the undergrads, and then I went straight to postdoc. Of course, there are attachment or internship that I did along the way, okay, but those are not real world. In that time, that's what I thought. Okay, so I wanted to see more of the real world. So that's why I was looking for, okay, is there any other things outside postdoc that I could do? Okay, and again, to be very honest, okay, my ex-boss didn't know this. When I went for interviews, okay, I didn't have much clue of what I will be doing or what I wanted to do. Okay, but after chatting during the interview, okay, so I think interview is two way, right? You are learning from them as well as they're also learning from you. They choose you and you also choose them. Okay, so that's why when I go for interviews, I always try to also find out what's there, what are they doing, and of course, because I didn't have any clue what I was going to do. Okay, so I did find out what was I going to do in IQVIA specifically that time. Okay, but after chatting, I find that okay, actually there are a lot of opportunities out there. I get to interact with people from different background. I get to do things that is related to medications, things that are related to healthcare that I'm passionate about. Okay, and there's also opportunity to step up to be trainers of the team, to build the team. So that's why I was like, okay, this is what I wanted to try, so I took it up.
A lot of interesting points that you raised there. First of all, there was a concern that if someone who is graduating with their PhD never worked in industry before, they might have a disadvantage, or they might not be able to land a job. But you are the opposite case. You said you never had that experience, but you were able to land your first job in industry anyway. So I think that's I feel like that's a promising message to take home. So I just want to highlight that. So, and then another amazing thing is that you went to the interview without even totally understanding what job entails. That's also quite interesting. And but you kind of use the interview opportunities as a chance to explore and understand better about the role along the way. I think that's quite that's really nice. It's a really nice approach, I think.
Yeah, that's why I would like to highlight that I'm thankful for those people, including, my interviewees, sorry, my interviewers, as well as my bosses, then that, as a clueless PhD graduate or going to graduate, they were willing to explain to me, and also not putting up a barrier that, okay, she's from PhD, I don't talk to her.
Yeah.
Yeah, so thank you.
So was that a job that required a PhD, or it was just like bachelor or master is okay?
Bachelor or master is fine. Okay, so it was not a job that required a PhD.
Interesting. Some people were concerned that they won't even get a chance to interview. What do you think brought you that chance? Was it something on your CV, or was it your someone you know, or what maybe if you could share a little bit of what you think was that secret?
Thank you for actually asking that question. Okay, so yes, I do totally agree that, when you don't have the experience, number one, and number two, you're a PhD holder applying for a job that doesn't require you to be a PhD, there's certain kind of disadvantage. Whether it's a true disadvantage or not, I don't know, and I cannot vouch for it. Okay, but I think what landed me this interview was two things. So number one, credits to one of the person who was who know me personally, who is working in the team. Okay, so she was actually my student when I was doing PhD. So she was working in my lab for her final year project, and then she graduated, and then she went to the job, and then she was like, "Oh, this could be something that you might be interested in." So she introduced me to the job, and of course that definitely helped. Secondly, I think also because the fact that I actually participated in a few things that shows my ability to work in the industry. Okay. And I would like to highlight one, for example, one aspect is the communications. Okay, because the job that I took up immediately after I graduated from PhD was the job that I really require a lot of communication. I'll be communicating with clients, people from different teams, as well as fellow teammates and team member from all over the world. Yeah, so that's why I think those are the two factors that provided me this chance.
Thank you. Very clear to us. And it's so interesting. Many times people think that the opportunity will come from someone more senior than you are, someone maybe older, someone who already like had a many years of experience in the industry. But actually, the first opportunity brought to you was actually to your ex-student.
That's
That's
right.
so interesting. Okay. So, was there any culture shock when you first like move from the academic environment to commercial sector?
Yes, SOPs. Okay, so all those, detailed admin work, okay, things like, for you to carry out certain action item, you need to do A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, D before you can do it. Whereas in PhD, I think most of the time you'll be like, okay, I want to do this, I want to explore, go. Okay, but when you are in a corporate working world, there are things that you need to follow. Of course, it's also to protect yourself, protect the organization, as well as to protect people you are interacting with. Okay, so that's obviously number one difference. Number two would be the fact that the world is large. It's very big. Okay, so for PhD, of course, you get to work with many people as well, your fellow PhD students, your boss, your PI, your people in the lab, or people from different labs but happen to be co-sharing the space and so on, or vendors. Okay, but when you are in the corporate world, for me, there are things like clients' relationship that I have to manage, admin support, IT team, sales team, people who may have their KPI and your KPI may be crossing or
Very different.
going in different direction. So those kind of relationship also need to be managed. Other than that, also different time zones. Okay, I think I did share briefly that I work with people all over the world in my first job. And the time zone also brought about night meetings. So one day I would be having meeting at like 9 p.m., 10 p.m., and then the next day I would have to wake up 7 a.m. to have another meeting for with people in the US team.
So after IQVIA, you moved to a startup that was Nala Genetics. So you joined as a product manager and then later became a product lead, right? But, why did you make that move and how was the transition like?
Okay, so I think just now we did talk about having somebody you know, and a junior introduced me to my first job. The second job was actually my friend, my peers. Okay, and it's my friend who actually I know since secondary school, you know, like super old friend. And he was like, okay, yeah, I'm looking for somebody to sub me in when I leave this company. Are you interested? So at that time I was like, okay, startups, oh no. Okay, so of course I was curious, but then it's also scary, right? Because it was also during COVID time. So a lot of things were uncertain and all this. You already have a stable paying job. Why do you want to go and risk your life out there? Okay. But then I didn't, just say no, but then I had a chat with the CEO of the startup and also some of the team members, okay, to find out what is it that I'll be doing. Yes, and what I really like about the startup, the Nala Genetics that I went, was that it's a tech startup, but then at the same time it combined health and technologies together. Okay, so it's genetic test company, but then you also use technologies, AI. You also use things like data security and all those. Okay, or software as a service kind of solutions. Okay, and there are a lot of things I can learn. And of course, we know that things like AI, things like digital solution, health tech are all coming up. So I feel that it will be something that is going to be useful in the long run. Okay, and again, the company that I was with, okay, I also work closely with the regional team, especially the Indonesian team, because we have some people from Malaysia, some people from Philippines, okay, and also serving Southeast Asia market. So it's something that still aligned with what I like, healthcare and regional, okay, but at the same time it also exposed me to new skills, okay, and also new knowledge, okay. And of course, at that time I was like, okay, it's a startup, but I'm still young, I still have the energy, okay, why not just try it? Yes, and actually for a lot of people out there, I always tell this when I meet anyone, yeah, I would recommend you to go for a startup once, at least once in your lifetime, just to experience the excitement of it.
Adventure.
Yeah, correct. It was fun.
Okay. So how what would you highlight as the biggest difference between working at a NMC and working at a startup?
Just to be clear, and of course not to generalize things as well, startup has many stages. Okay, and of course I think MNC as well have different working way, some companies a little bit more metric, some companies a little bit more hierarchical and so on. What my experience may not be a true reflection, okay,
Yeah,
but
that's a
my own
personal
experience.
journey.
Yeah, if I'm just speaking for myself, okay, so for startup, things that change very quickly is your OKR or objective and key results. So you always heard about KPI or key performance indicators, but then in some company also use OKR as a measurement of how well you do your job. Okay, so this is what I always joke. In some startups, okay, or at least some of the early days that I was in startup, your OKR grow like a monster. At the beginning of the quarter, it was something. Then at the end of the quarter, it was totally something else. Okay, because we have to continuously adapt to the industry, continuously adapt to the company needs and the changing industry landscape. But I would say nowadays, even for MNC, it might be like that as well. Yeah, because nowadays things change so quickly that I think maybe even in MNC, okay, you also need to adapt very quickly to changes.
It's like you cannot afford to slow down because everybody is running, so you should not be walking if you decided to enter the market, right? So now that you are working at KPMG as a healthcare and life science manager, so that means you are back to an MNC setting again after 3 years in a startup. Maybe. So how do you feel like? Is it like you are back home, or do you feel like comfortable again, or do you feel like it's another another world again.
Okay, so firstly, the office view is nice. Okay,
Oh, thank
you are
you.
now in CBD. Okay, joke aside, it is familiar and at the same time also strange. Okay, so the part that is not changed is that healthcare is still very healthcare based. It's still, you know, a lot of interesting about healthcare project, digitalization of healthcare. You know, a lot of things are still what I'm very comfortable and what I believe I have experience with. Okay, but then again, I'm also back to the SOPs, back to the larger project that MNC offer the opportunities. Okay, but I would say, you know, the exposures throughout the years, okay, in technical aspect, industry aspect, or regional aspect actually supported me to transition back into my role in MNC. Of course, there are a lot of when I first, you know, my first few days in the office, I was like, oh no, this is unfamiliar. There are a lot of things that I need to adjust to. Okay, but then I think slowly I'm getting a hang of it. And also the team members are actually very supportive and open-minded. Yeah, despite the fact that oh I came from a startup, they were like, okay, you know what's fun there? Yeah, let's share experience. So I think familiar yet little bit
Yeah.
more to adjust to, okay, would be the summary.
So yeah, now I'm KPMG healthcare li and life sciences manager. The manager is a very generic term. You know, every time I think I saw the job post out there, manager, it's just so many kind of managers. So we really need to read the job description carefully to understand the role. Would you be able to tell us a little bit more about your current role? Just so that our listeners are able to imagine how it is like.
Okay, I will answer first, but I'm not sure whether I can share everything. Okay.
Whatever they share in the job description, maybe. So
Okay.
when you first apply, or yeah.
Okay, so I can't go into a specific details, okay, but for managers, okay, so what I do is actually manage the opportunities. Okay, so let's say there are projects that come in, you know, how do we tackle this project? How do we arrange people or the junior members in the team into this project, and how do we work with the project? For example, I'll be planning the timeline, the budget, okay, and what are the communications we have with the client, and at the same time teach and also bring the junior up to the speed, okay. What are the things that, let's say, you know, because let's say there are some project that I have the experience with, but then the junior members team member may not have experience with, okay. Also, to impart the knowledge to them.
I see. So that's really like a consultant team that you are leading and building for to solve.
I wouldn't say leading and building at the moment, but I would say working together.
Okay, sure. Okay, that's so it's a consultant team that you are working together to deliver solutions for your client. Oh, thank you. Next, what would you say are the fun parts and not so fun parts about your current job?
Okay,
Any other job that you have ever had, whatever you want to highlight.
okay, so I would say it's just in general the three jobs that I have before. Okay, so the not so fun part is of course the admin part of the work. Okay,
SOP.
yeah, they are necessaries. Okay, it's like when you are in the lab and people ask you to do safety documents. Okay,
Yeah,
it's
risk
not
assessment.
fun, but it's a necessity part of the work. Okay, and of course, like I say, is you know, is to protect yourself, protect the organization, and protect the clients. Okay, so it has to do, but yeah, not fun. The fun part, okay, is how different people behave. Okay, so people from different culture or people from different background behave. Of course, again, this is just my own observation, may not be 100% true. Okay, but I can give you a few examples. So let's say people from different culture, you know, there are some people who when they team message you, they will come with hi, and then they will not say anything else until you hi back, and then they will like state, okay, this is what I need. Okay, there are people from my experience, there are people from certain culture that do that, which is very polite. Whereas there are also people, okay, from other cultures that will be hi, come on, I need A B C D E F G, thank you, done. Okay, so there are certain group of people that really do things like that. Okay, so aside from culture, there are also things like technical background. So and from healthcare background, my undergrad was in pharmacy, my postgrad was in pharmacy. You know, my first time of truly interacting very closely with tech team was when I was in startup. So I say things like, oh, okay, can we have the time zone, the time in the local time? What I meant was local time zone. Okay, the engineer team came back to me and give me a paper. Okay, and then instead of local time zone, what they give me was time in local language. Okay, so it's really different in understandings
Yeah,
and different in culture that really fascinate me in, this daily life of work. Small things, okay, but they are fun to pick out and also discuss about with people.
right, and then you also learn to like maybe to communicate in different terms or wording.
Yes. So I
Another
know I
challenge.
was not detailed enough. Sorry, let me say it again. Yeah.
So interesting. Beyond your main jobs, we heard that you are mentoring undergrads as part of the initiative. I think it's called Inspire. I'm not sure how to pronounce it. Can you can you tell us more about that?
Okay, so Inspire is actually a program by Department of Pharmacy. Okay, is okay as the name
What can you ask?
imply. Okay, for us to inspire the juniors. Okay, so this program is they call back the pharmacy alumni. Okay, to share with the juniors about our experience and how the junior can learn from us, or what we can share, or what we can even learn from the junior. To put it very bluntly, okay, it's actually just us chatting. It's not a one-time thing, but throughout the year we'll meet up a few times to chat about life, about work, about coursework, or even things like, okay, what should I do, what kind of internship should I pick up, and so on. Okay, so while supporting others, right, okay, although the program sounds like, it's really for the juniors, but to me, I really think it's helped me to reflect on myself as well. Okay, there was a time when I was talking to the student and then the juniors, and then she mentioned something like, oh, I'm really not sure what I'm doing now. Okay, or is it like, is it, I'm not capable enough, or is it just, the world just too cruel for me? Because she was telling me that all her friends have so many internships in their CV, but then she didn't have a lot. And then she find it very stressful. But then it also gave me a chance to reflect on myself, whether is it sometime, from an outsider point of view, it's okay and it's not wrong. But then I'm just too hard on myself, like the junior was too hard on herself, or not. I really think that, this opportunity is beneficial for both sides. And I'm sure there are other departments or other team in NUS that have such program. I think your program is one of it as well, to share and to give back to the university. Okay, so I will encourage any alumni to join and contribute. I think you will also learn things as you share and get to know the juniors as well. And my first job, I got it through knowing a junior, so maybe you will get the next jump from this as well.
It's very nice. Those kind of program really like I think it's very impactful to the ones who are still growing or exploring their career path. And I always wish that I had mentor at some point. I think as I joined NUS, after that I started to have an opportunity to join the mentorship program, and it was really helpful to me. But I think the earlier I had, it could have made an earlier impact. And I'm glad that the Department of Pharmacy is doing that. Thank you for sharing. So maybe taking a step back to now look back at your like multiple years of like work experience, how you have come so far. I feel like you have been progressing quite smoothly in your career. You are like promoted every 1 to 3 years. You got to experience new work environment every 2 3 years. I would say this nowadays. It looks like a very nice figure, a very nice number. It's not too long, it's not too short. But you shared with us, I wanted to ask whether it was all by plan or by chance, but I think you have answered that already through your answers in the past questions. Sometimes it's by plan, sometimes it's by chance, right? But we want to know, sorry, go ahead.
I can add a little bit more on that. Okay, if you're not bored of me speaking yet.
No, of course.
Okay, so I think you did mention, right, that people see the norm of 3 years as a norm, right? And this is what I heard from my friends, who is also a PhD graduate as well. And this is what he said that, or his boss, his PI actually shared with him. Okay, he said that a person should stay in a company for 3 years. The first year to learn, second year to learn and contribute, third year to contribute, and then bye bye. Okay, so this is what Came up in one of our conversation.
Yeah.
Logical, okay, but then I would say is people time are not the same, right? You know, my 1 year and your 1 year could be very different. In my 1 year, let's say I'm you know working on a single project, whereas somebody else in 1 year they can be working on like five different projects. Okay, so the kind of experience and the kind of contribution that you're doing are very different. So to me, I wouldn't say that there's a specified number of years that you have to be in a certain position before you move on. Okay, but then again, my aim is equal to two. I only changed job twice so far, so it may not be statistically significant. Okay, however, what I usually ask myself when I decide to move or not to move are two questions. Okay, so firstly, is there anything that I will regret not doing here? So I always, you know, this is also the same for a relationship. Okay, love enough so that when you actually have to let go, you don't regret it. Okay, so I apply the same philosophy to the job. Okay, love the job enough, do whatever you can do or whatever you want to do enough so that when it's time to let go, or you know, you feel like, okay, I have done everything that I could here, everything that I am interested in doing here, I have already done everything. Okay, now it's time to let go. And of course, the second question is, in the new job, what is exciting me? You know, what is making me say, okay, this is what I want to wake up in the morning and go to do. Okay. Of course, there are times where you know you just say, okay, I want to throw my letter now. I want to just walk out the door now and don't want to come back and work tomorrow. Okay. But before I can answer these two questions very clearly, of course, I want to throw the letters. Yeah, but if I one day I can answer these two questions with confidence, no matter how long I take, you know, it can be 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, okay, then it's time to go.
Let's talk about the future. So we talk about what you have gone through in the past. It's really inspiring. How do you see your future? Like, what does how does your career protection look like?
Okay, so I would definitely still be in healthcare. Yeah, it has been, you know, since my day one of PhD studies or sorry, pharmacy study, or even, you know, way longer than that, I want to be in healthcare and I'm still in healthcare. Okay, and of course I still want to continue projects in regional roles, to work with people from different culture and society, and also growing together with the team that I'm in. Okay, so I believe that, you know, when you are growing, but the team is not growing, also not good. And if the team is growing, but you are not growing, also not great, right? So my aim is, of course, to grow together with the team that I'm in.
You. Looking back, what is the one misconception that people have about PhD holders working in industry?
That we get paid more. Okay, joke. Okay, so there are really that some people actually thought that, you know, oh, PhD, you must get paid a lot, right? Okay, whether it's true or not, I will leave it up to you all to find out yourself. Okay, and but on a more serious note, a lot of people feel that our career path is in research and becoming lecturers. I have friends who actually you know me when I was doing PhD, and then 10 years later, sorry, not that long yet. Okay, a few years later we met again. Then they were like, oh, are you teaching somewhere? You know, or which lab you are in now? Okay, so that's a normal assumption that they actually have. Okay, and of course, if you are following that route, there's nothing wrong. But if you are looking for industry jobs, okay, do show them that you can be a lot more than that. You know, you are not going to be in the lab, you are not going to become a lecturer, but what can you do? There's so many things out there that you can do, even if you have PhD. I have friends who have PhD going to content creation. I have people who go into, you know, business. I have people who go into, you know, opening up their own cafe. So I really think, and of course, the more traditional route, becoming lecturer, becoming, you know, academic member. Okay, so of course, don't let that assumption from people around you that our path is very limited define what you want to do in the future.
Okay, thanks for that reminder. A lot of opportunities and possibilities out there, right? So if you have a chance to give an advice to your younger selves, what would it be?
Do we have 3 hours to talk about it?
You have 3 seconds. Just kidding. Just go ahead.
Of course, I think, you know, when you are looking back, you have a lot of things you want to say, right? But when you are in that moment, most of the time you'll be like, yeah, I know, but I don't want to listen. Okay, and I think it happens to many of us as well. But if I am to be able to, say something to myself or anyone who is looking to do PhD, okay, if you haven't started, ask yourself really why you want to do it. Okay, there are some reasons that I feel, if let's say you want to do it because you are truly interested, this is you have burning passion about certain topic, sure. Okay, but if you have already started, okay, then. And you say that, okay, I don't want to turn back already. I'm already in it. I don't want to, yeah, my only way is going forward. Okay, ask yourself what you really want. Okay. And if you don't know, or if you feel that, oh my God, I don't know what I want to do. It's such a difficult question, so stressful, don't want to answer, don't want to think about it. It's also okay. Yeah. It doesn't mean that, once you step into PhD, you already know exactly what you want to do or you want to be. Okay. Just be open-minded, be open to the opportunities that come your way. Okay. And if there are things that, people reach out to you and say that, oh, do you want to try doing this? Or hey, how about let's say volunteer in certain thing or work in certain job. Interning in certain parts, in certain industry. Okay. If you, of course, if you have time and you're not too busy with your PhD, try it out. You never know when it's going to come in handy. You might not like it, and that's it. Okay. So then you know that, okay, this is not my thing. Bye bye. Okay. But if you like it, then okay, this is something that I can consider in the future. Or maybe you might not like it, but then you get some valuable experience. Skills that it's transferable, those will definitely support you in the future in the long run.
Thank you so much. I think that is really a long list of advice for your younger selves,
Oops.
right? A lot of things that we reflect back and wish that we were aware or know about it before. And I'm sure that our listeners are able to take home those beneficial advice for themselves. Yeah, so Kamalawan, thank you so much for joining us today. We really learned a lot from you, and I really hope that we get a chance to talk more, and maybe a few years later, I think you will have a lot of other stories to share with us as well. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, and hopefully people actually stay until the end. Okay,
I'm
but
sure they will.
for those people who stay until the end, thank you very much for listening. And if you have any additional questions or there's anything that you want to share about, or I say something that you feel that this is not true, it's false. Okay, feel free to LinkedIn me as well and say, oh, okay, I heard about this, and no, you are wrong. Okay, tell me about that. I'll be happy to learn.
The NUS Yong Lu Lin School of Medicine celebrates 120 years of medical education this year. We thank Jean Wees for sponsoring this podcast. Don't forget to check out its website, genewees.com, when you think of next generation sequencing and gene synthesis. Follow Jean Wees from Azenda APAC on LinkedIn now. Please leave a comment with suggestions on content that you would like to listen to. Thanks for tuning in. Until the next episode.